Story Day, the 2 week rubbish mulch down hot.
Let's start with a question. I was talking to my chavrusa a couple of days ago about this. How much did Ephraim ask Avram to pay for the Moros HaMachpelo? How much money did Ephraim demand from Avram for the Moros HaMachpelo? Avramel Shekel Kesef, yeah? Everybody says that. Now, if you read the Psukim, it doesn't actually say that. I discovered. It doesn't say that in the Pasuk. If you look at the beginning, when in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says to him, I'm giving it to you free. Avraham says, no, I want to give you the money. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, Nosati kesef hasod kach mimeni. Rashi says, I've given it already. Just take it to me. I want to give it to you. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayan Ephraim Avraham leimor loy. Ephraim answered Avraham and said to him, Adoni Shmoini, Eretz Abba Meir Shekel Kesef, Bein Yuvein Chomahi. So we always think that means that you say, all right, fine, you want to pay 400 shekel. It doesn't say that. It says, Eretz Abba Meir Shekel Kesef, a land which is worth 400 shekel kesef, Bein Yuvein Chomahi, says Rashi, we're such good friends, why are you making a fuss about such a cheap karka? And Rashi says clearly, Hamaches HaMecher, forget the sale, that's Mitzchah Kavoy, just do it free of charge. Avraham heard what Ephraim was trying to say. He didn't say it. But he was saying, it's only worth 400. It's only worth 10 million. It's fine. Don't worry about it. That means he wanted that 400 shekel kesef. He didn't actually tell him explicitly. When it came to it, so then Itaka, the Chazal tell us that he took Abameh shekel kesef over La Soicher, which was different days from Chazal, according to one day, it was 100 times, it's like 400. 40,000 shekel kesef, 100 times as much. So he took an enormous fortune, but that's not what he actually asked for. He made it very clear that he valued it at that price, but he didn't actually ask for it. The stump shat and psukim. So we have this Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it, I think. He does say it somewhere. Yes, Rashi, he says, Omer harbe vafilu ma'at le'osof. Tzadikim, omrim ma'at le'osim harbe. And the shoyim faket, they say, they talk big. When it comes to Lemaisa, they don't keep any. He pretended that he's giving it for free. When it came to Lemaisa, he charged an exorbitant amount. I once heard from Shlomo Shadron, I didn't hear him, I heard it on a recording. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Hakino v'hataiva v'hakovoid, jealousy, desire, and honor, mitzinus ha'odom in ha'olam, a person gets drawn after those bad middos, it takes a person out of this world, whatever, it's a negative thing. There's another mission also in Pirkei Avos, which says, Ein hara, v'yetzer hara, v'sinas habriyos, metzinas adam in ha'olam. We've got a different list. Ein hara, bad eye, you see what that means? V'yetzer hara, v'sinas habriyos, and hatred of people, metzinas adam in ha'olam. So we've got two lists. One list in Pirkei Dalet, which says, is something detrimental. Then you have another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Beis, which tells us, how do we fit these two together? If it's a list of six, they should be put together. It's obviously there's some correlation between them. So, Rav Sholem Zok, there's a kin of jealousy. It's a bad middah. Yeah, we all know it's a bad middah. It's something that most people have to some degree or another. In various areas, whether it's in wealth, whether it's in talents, whether it's in any area, it's a middah which a person has. It's not a good middah, but it's something which, you know, we all struggle with in one way or another. Taiva, desire, people who've got desires, physical pleasures, enjoyment. Okay, it's also something we have to work on. And then we have covered, that's something all of us understand pretty well. We want covered, respect. And again, these are all middos which need to be worked on, but it's within the realm of normal. We have a level of middos which is far more severe, and those correspond to those three. Corresponding to kinah, jealousy means you've got something, and I would like to have it. I feel bad that I don't have it. No, why do you have it and not me? Ayin hara means that it bothers me that you have it. If I don't have it, at least you also shouldn't have it. Which is tamashlechskeit. What do you gain? If I don't have it, it will help me that you don't have it. If at least you should have it. It doesn't help me that you don't have it. So that's ayin hara, somebody who can't bear the idea that somebody else has got something that he doesn't have. More than just he wants some as well, but he doesn't want the other person to have. Then you have taiva, desire. A person wants to enjoy himself, wants to have things which may be forbidden. Yetzirah is a far greater level. Yetzirah means let's find new pleasures which I haven't even thought of to indulge in. That's something which is no excuse for that. It's one thing if it's something that you enjoy, but it's, let's find new pleasures. I haven't thought of enough things. I have to find new ideas. That's far worse. And then you've got covered. A person wants covered, wants respect. Okay, but it should bother me that somebody else has covered. That's sinas abrius. That's hatred. What do you gain? So you want covered, you can also have covered. But somebody else should have the covered just because I don't have covered. He also shouldn't have it. That's sinas abrius. And there's a far severe level of mitzinas ha'odom in the olam. Chazal tell us in the Medrash about Ephraim, nivhal, on the Pasuk in Mishli, nivhal lehoin, ishra ayin. Nivhal, we could say shocked isn't really the right word, but he lost himself. He saw the hoin, he saw Avraham Avinu's wealth, and he was ishra ayin. He said, I can't bear it that Avraham has got this, and I have to do what I can to take it away from him. And Chazal tell us that's the midas rois of Ephraim. Not just that he wanted money, but he couldn't bear it that Avraham had it. And he did what he could, as we said before, it took a huge fortune from him. So what did he gain? End of the pasuk says, "V'lo yoda ki choser yevoyenu." He didn't realize that he's actually going to lose out. He's going to be lacking because of it. The pasuk calls him. I don't know which pasuk. One second. Oh, the pasuk verse before Sheni, pasuk Tazayin, Vayishma Avraham el Ephraim. Avraham, listen to Ephraim, as I said before, Vayishkel Avraham le Ephraim. The second time it says le Ephraim, it says it without a vav. The vav was removed from him. He was choser. He's choser. You know the concept of mole and choser, we have with a vav or without a vav. He was choser, he was lacking. And we could, to us, big deal, you read it the same. But a letter in the Heiliger Torah, we, even though we don't understand what it means, we do appreciate that it's very, very great. One letter in the Torah was taken away from his name. He tried to gain wealth. He tried to take it away from Avraham, and he ended up losing. He was Chazal, the Ben Shalom took away the vav from him because he was trying to gain, and he ended up losing out. So Ad Kan, the Ayin Hara Shel Ephraim, this is the vav that I heard of Shalom Shadron. He lost out the vav. He lost the vav of his name, wasn't it?
He got the wealth, he lost vav.
He lost the vav. The vav was taken away from him. It's a ruchnistic thing. It's not a physical thing. A letter in the Heiliger Torah is something which we can't. That okay, that could be. That's not. Yeah. Okay. Okay, could be. I'm saying the Chazal don't say that. At least not in this Medrash. Maybe a different Medrash. Okay. So he lost. He lost. Torah is nitzchias. Torah is worth more than all the money in the world. So he lost the vav. He lost much more than he gained. So I once heard. Somebody, I once said this vort, and somebody told me a nice sofa to it, that, I'm not going to scare you, just there's a concept called a vav ahipuch and a vav achibur. Vav commonly means and, yeah? Vav vaidaber, doesn't actually, that point doesn't mean that, yeah? But a vav adds on to the word before. There's a vav ahipuch, which, the word vaidaber, yedaber means he will speak, vaidaber means he spoke. So the vav is a hippoch, it changes it from future to past. You have the other way around as well. So you have a vav a hippoch changing around, and a vav a chibur, which connects to before. Ephraim had the opportunity to be connected to Avraham Avinu, connected to Kedusha, and he could have been mahapich himself. He could have turned himself around to become a good person. But he lost that opportunity by giving in to his ayin hara. He lost the vav, he lost the vav achibur, he lost the connection to Avraham. He lost the hippuch, the ability to change around, to become a good person. And that's a deep understanding in what he lost by losing that vav, even though it's not the same vav, it's the concept. We have another person who originally didn't have a vav in his name, and a vav was added. Who was that? Yisroi. He's originally called Yeser, and he connected himself to the Torah. He changed himself from being a goy to becoming a yid. He added that vav, that connection to Kedusha, that connection to Torah. By doing the right thing, by making the right choices, he gained the vav. Ephraim lost the vav, lost the connection, and Yisroi gained it. It's a nice way to suffer to the vav. Medrash, this line of the Medrash is in the beginning of the parasha. It talks about Sora Yimeinu. The Medrash applies the pasuk in Tehillim, Yidei Hashem Yimei Sumimim. Hashem knows the days of perfect ones. It's a reference to Sora. And the Medrash says, Kashem Shehin Tumimim, like the Tzadikim, in this particular instance, it's Sora, are Tumimim, are perfect, Kach Shnoisom Tumimim. The years are also perfect, they're also whole. Later on in the Medrash, in the parasha, in the beginning of Kapitel Chav Dalet, it's not really on the pasuk. It is actually. Avram Zokim Bo Bayomim. Avram was old Bo Bayomim. So the Medrash says like this: Yesh Lecha Adam Shehu Bezikna Ve'Ena Bayomim. There can be a person who has old age, and not days. Bayomim Ve'Ena Bezikna can have days, and not old age. Avokan. Avraham had both. We'll explain what it means. So the Gaon says like this. He brings Anaf Yosef brings from the Gaon. In Parashat Vayechi, it says Vayikrivu Yemei Yisroel Lomis. It's an interesting expression. When Yaakov Avinu was going to die, Vayikrivu Yemei Yisroel Lomis. So he says when a person, the Zohar Kodesh says, when a person's nifta, all the days of his life, they all come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, look, the tzaddik used me for this mitzvah, he used me for that, he used me to learn Torah. All the days are very proud to present themselves to Hashem. Look, the tzaddik utilized me properly. Whereas a rosha, the days hide their faces in shame. A rosha, what did he do with his life? He used it for avirus. He definitely didn't utilize it properly. And they're embarrassed to come. So, Yaakov Avinu, being the quintessential tzaddik, he was Bo Bayomim, he came with his days. His days came along very proud to present themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what the Tzaddik Yaakov Avinu has done with us. So there's sometimes a person, says the Medrash, so that's what the Medrash is saying. A person can be old, Ve'enu Bayomim, but he doesn't have his days, he hasn't used his days. His days aren't accounted for in the right way. And there can be Faket, there can be somebody who's Bayomim, who used his days well, but poof, he didn't live to an old age. But at least the days that he did live, he utilized properly. So Avraham Zokin, he was old, and also Bo Bayomim, he came with his days. He lived a long life. Additionally, he utilized his days properly, and these days accompanied him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were proud to present themselves to him. They said, look, Avraham Avinu used us well. At the end of the parasha, it says, right at the end, it says, find it a second. Oh, Kapitel Chof Hei Posuk Zayin, these are the days, the years of the life of Avram. The days and the years. You got the days means is a reference to utilizing all the days, and the years are how long he lived, and all of them asher choy. He lived all of those years. Real living, not just existing. He lived, he used them properly. I think I'm not mistaken that this is what also has from Shon Shadron. I don't have it written down where it comes from. There's a story about, if I got the names right, this Fasemis, it was Nifta relatively young. Fashtetzach, it was very distressing for everybody. And on the way back from the Levi, his son, the Imre Emes, commented that Unzere Tata hat gehad Arichus Yomim. Our father had Arichus Yomim. And they looked at him in surprise. Said, Arichus Yomim? I don't think he even reached the age of 60. How can he say that he had Arichus Yomim? So he said, I didn't say he had Arichus Shonim. I didn't say he lived many years. He had Arichus Yomim. He utilized his days. Every day was full. Every day was meaningful. And that's the ikkah. So that's what we see by Avraham Avinu, we see by Tzadikim, and that's something to aspire to. Somebody shared with me a vort yesterday. It's his own thought. I can tell you who it was. A Talmud Chacham called Rav Avraham Karnofsky, Shlita. He told me a very beautiful vort. I'd like to share it with you. So I think it's Emes HaPshat. But going back to Kapitel Chof Dalet, Pasuk Hey, Avraham Avinu is sending Eliezer to find a wife for Rivka. He tells him, go to El Arzi, go back to my homeland, to where I come from. What should I do if she doesn't want to come? Shall I take back your son to the land from where you originate? So Avraham said, no. Don't send him, don't take him back. He told him, don't take him back. So, until yesterday afternoon, yesterday evening, I always understood that we know, the Rashi tells us in Parashas Toldos, when Yitzchok was considering leaving Eretz Canaan because of the Rav, because of the hunger, considering going down to Mitzrayim, so before he got any further in his thoughts, Hashem said to him, don't. Why? Because you were Adon Akedah, you were a Korban, you have to stay in Eretz Yisrael, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael, you've got to stay there. So that's how I always understood that Avraham Avinu was saying to Eliezer, don't take Yitzchok out of Eretz Yisrael. But perhaps that's not what the pasuk means. There's an expression here which is interesting. Shall I take him back? And Avraham says to him, don't take him back. Actually, if you think about it, Yitzchok was never there. You can't go back to somewhere you've never been. Yitzchok had never been in Choron. Yitzchok was born in Eretz Canaan. So what do you mean, shall I take him back? So he suggests, and I think it's Emes Pshat. Avraham Avinu, Hashem said to him, Lech lecha me'artzecha, it wasn't just a physical departure from his homeland. It was an ideological and emotional departure. Detach yourself completely. Disconnect yourself from all your history. You've got to start a new life, a life of Avodas Hashem, and you've got to disconnect yourself. And Avraham was saying, don't take Yitzchok back to that environment. There's a risk. You can't take him back there. He might be influenced. He's got to stay here, away from that. Perhaps it's because the Pshat of Avraham Avinu was like the first generation removed from that tumor, the Averis, and the risk of Yitzchok being pulled back into it is too great. You can't take him back. And that's the Lashon, Hoshiv Oshiv, shall I take him back? Says Avraham, do not, Hisham Elecha, don't, Pentoshiv has been Hisham. And later on, right at the end, Pasuk, Yeches says, Rakes b'ni lo soshev shama, don't take him back. It's too risky. And that's what he meant. Nothing to do with the fact that Yitzchok was an Eretz Mima. There's no mention of that. Nothing to do with not going out of Eretz Canaan. It's to do with the fact that he can't go back to that environment where you originate from. You're far too close. It's too dangerous. And that explains very beautifully where Rashi says on the words, Rakes b'ni lo soshev shama. So the word Rak, says Rashi in Pasuk Ches, Rak miotu. Rak is an exception. Bini ein choizer. Yitzchok can't go back. Aval Yaakov ben bini, but Yaakov, my grandson, he can go back. So for Lachzor, he's going to go back. Why shouldn't Yaakov go back? He wasn't an Oilot Tamimo. There's no reason why he shouldn't go there. But according to this, it's nothing to do with being an Oilot Tamimo. It's to do with going back to that environment. Yitzchok can't go back there. It's too risky. Yaakov was already a generation further. He can go back. He's not at risk. He can go back. And not only can he go back, this bit is my Hosafa, not only can go back, he needs to go back. Because he has his work to do there. He has to influence them for good. He has to take his tzidkus and impose it on them and uplift them. And it's actually a very important lesson. People often have encouraged to get involved in Kiruv, which is an amazing mitzvah. But only not if it's not a risk to oneself. If one has not a risk of being drawn down oneself, then one can't get involved in such a thing. Yitzchok was too close to the source of Avraham's history for him to be able to go back. Yaakov was already stronger. He was already the third generation. He was able to withstand the pull of the tumor of where he came from, and he could taka effectively go there and achieve good hashpos on the people who were there. Okay, let me continue. If there's time, I'll come back to something else. The Pasuk tells us in Kapitel Chof Dalet, Pasuk Chof Beis. Eliezer standing there, he's watching Rivka draw the water and give the camels, and he sees everything going on, and he decides that this is the right person. She's the right one. She's going to be, this is this Rivka, she's going to be the one to be the wife for Yitzchok. So he says, the Pasuk says, Vayikar shekula gemalim nishtos, when the gemalim had finished drinking, Pasuk Chof Beis, Vayikar chalish nezem zahov, he took a golden nose ring, Be'akamish golo, which weighed half a shekel. Rashi tells us why, what's the significance of a half a shekel? It's a remez for machzis ha-shekel. Okay. Ushnei tzimidim al yodel, two bracelets on her hands. Rashi says that's a remez to the two luchos, mutsumodos, which were attached to each other. Asoro zahav mishkolom, which weighed 10 gold coins. So that's a reference to Aseret HaDibros. Okay, says the Be'er Yosef that we can understand the machzis ha-shekel, what Eliezer was trying to symbolize. He's saying that you're going to become the mother of Klal Yisrael. You're going to have the machzis ha-shekel. So okay, we can understand that. The two luchos, Fashtetzach, Kabbalah Satoira, we understand. Aseret HaDibros, for sure we understand. Okay, then we understand. But what's the significance of the fact that it's tzmidim? It seems to be an emphasis on the tzmidim, that the two, the bracelets are referred to as tzmidim, so that refers to the luchos which are mitzumodos, which are attached. Why is that so important, the fact that they're attached to each other? What's the significance in that detail? We know, Aseret HaDibros, there were 10. 5 were on one of the luchos, and 5 on the other luach. And we also know that the first 5 were Ben Adam Lamokim, Anoichi, Loyelecho, Shabbos, Kibbutz Avraham, and then the Sisa. And you got the other five, Ben Adam Lachaveiroi, Lesignoi, Lesinov, etc. We've got the Ben Adam Lamokim, Ben Adam Lachaveiroi. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Sisa, Vayiten Moshe, when Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu the luchos, it says the word luchos without a vav. So Rashi says there, luchas ksiv, it's written as if it could be read luchas in the singular, to tell you that the shtei and shorvis, they're both equal. What does that mean? So there's the Be'er Yosef, that the Torah is telling us that even though there's two parts of the Torah, there's the Ben Adam Lamokim and Ben Adam Lachaveiroi, they're not independent entities. They have to work together. A person can't say, you know, I'm going to be a nice guy, I'm going to do chesed, I'm going to look after everybody, I'm not going to hurt anybody. But when it comes to Ben Adam Lamokim, when it comes to Kriyas Shema, when it comes to Tefillin, I'm not going to bother. Can't do that. A person can't say the other way around also. No, he can't say, I'm going to be a big tzaddik, and I'm going to keep Shabbos, and I'm going to go to Zachem. But when it comes to other people, I couldn't care less. It can't be that. It's got to be both together. It's got to be Ben Adam Lamokim, Ben Adam Lachaveiri. And that's the Shtein Shavuos. Says the Be'er Yosef that Eliezer was telling Rivka, you've shown that you excel in Midas. You've got Midas Tova, it's Meridik. You're able to draw water for all these men and for the camels, and you're doing it with such a willingness. You're really excelling in Ben Adam Lachaveiroi. But you should just be aware that there's another part as well, which you haven't been introduced to yet. It's the Ben Adam Lamokim. And it's important that you also know that they're mutsumodos, they have to go together. It's not two independent things, they have to go together. You're going to be introduced now to the house of Avraham Avinu, and you're going to learn about Ben Adam Lamokim. Realize that it needs to be connected and has to go alongside one another. With that, says the Be'er Yosef, we can understand what's the inyan of the Beka, the Machzis HaShekel, and why especially on the nose. Why did he give specifically a nose ring which weighed the Beka, weighed the Machzis HaShekel? The Medrash tells us in Parshas Emor, goes through the Abba Minim, as famously, that the Abba Minim represent different types of Eden. You have the Esrog, which has a nice taste and a nice smell. And that presents Eden who have got Torah and they've got Gemilas Chasodim. And then you've got the Arova, which has a date palm, which has taste but no smell. You have the Hadassim, which have a smell and no taste. And then you have, and then you have the, sorry, not the Arova. The Lulav is a date palm. The Arova has no taste and no smell. So you see from the Medrash that if you look at them, the Loshen, for example, the Esrog has a Tam and a Reach, and that represents Eden who got Torah and Masim Tovim. So Tam, taste, symbolizes Torah, and Reach, smell, symbolizes Masim Tovim, which is Ben Adam Lachaveiroi. So Eliezer was saying to Rivka, you've got a nose beautiful nose, i.e. the reach, the masim tovim, is very, very special with you. Just remember, that's a beka, it's only half. It's a machtis. There's another half, and that has to go together. And when you've got both together, and how would you get that? You come to the house of Avraham Avinu, you marry Yitzchok, and he adds the Gemara in Brochus that Noshim are zeicha to Torah by supporting their husbands and their children to learn Torah. So when you have both, then you reach the Shlemus, then you'll have the Tam, and you'll also have the Reach, you have the Torah with the Masim Tovim going together. I'm going to go back now to Kapitel of Dalet still. The Pasuk Gimel. When Avraham said to Eliezer, giving him instructions where to go and where not to go, he said to him, "Vashbiachah b'Hashem elokei ha'shamayim v'elokei ha'aretz." I'm going to make you swear. Asher lo yisikach isha livni, you should not take a wife for my son, mebenois ha-Knani asher anuichi yoshev v'kirboi, from the daughters of the Knani amongst whom I'm dwelling. Why does he need to say those words, asher anuichi yoshev v'kirboi? Everybody knows that that's where I'm living. You don't need to say it. Don't take from the benois ha-Knani where I'm living. We know that. Yeah. So says the Kli Yakov that he's trying to explain an idea why Avraham's issuing these instructions. Presumably, the reason that Yitzchok wouldn't be allowed to marry one of the local girls is because he doesn't want to learn from them. They're bad people; they do bad things. He doesn't want to learn from them. So, what's the point of sending him to Choron? They're also bad people. So, what's the benefit? It's just as bad. Says the Kli Yakov that the emphasis was Asher Anuichi Yoshev B'Kirboi, because they live here. If you get married to a local girl, you're going to live here and you're going to be influenced by your wife's family. Obviously, your wife is going to be a tzaddikus, but the rest of the family and all the environment is going to be bad. If you go to Choron, then it will be the same problem if he gets married there and stays there. And that's why he said to him, don't take Yitzchok there. Get a wife from there, who she's okay, she's a tzaddikus, and bring her here. So you don't have the risk of being influenced by the people of her family because you're not with them. And the local people, you have no connection with them. And even more, they're actually going to be quite offended. Why did you have to go away from us and go marry someone else? Oh, we don't have anything to do with you. So the risk of being influenced is greatly diminished. And that's the emphasis. Because we're here, I don't want you to marry someone local. Marry someone from Choron and don't live there. Pentoshevitz ben Yishama, don't take him there. Now, there is another issue. This is already a famous point, that there's the Benois HaKnani had bad midas. The people of Choron, they didn't have bad midas, but they had Avodah Zorah. So the Kli Yakov, the Avodah Zorah isn't such a problem. He said the bad midas is something which is a physical thing, and that's the contribution of the parents, which could go down from parents to children, and that could influence the future generations. Whereas Avodah Zorah is in the mind. The mind is primarily HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. So if a person takes away the thoughts of Avodah Zorah and connects to Hashem, there isn't such a risk. So that's why the Eliezer was told by Avraham, go to Choron, take someone from there who hasn't got the bad midas, just got the Avodah Zorah, bring them here, and then you'll, Be'ezus Hashem, be safe, and you'll be able to set up the Klal Yisrael, the Kedusha V'Tahara. Shkoyach V'Shabbos. Gentlemen, very, very cold outside. So be very, very careful. It's very, very cold outside.